Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behind the badge.
Congressman Krishnamoorthy, welcome back. You're on WGN Radio. What was the committee that you were sitting on that was on TV today, sir?
So I sit on the House Intelligence Committee, and we had a hearing today to have the acting director of national intelligence, Mr. McGuire, come before us.
What was the purpose of Joe McGuire appearing before you?
The purpose was to talk about a whistleblower complaint, which was released today to the public, that was submitted to the Inspector General of the Intelligence Community back in August. And that Inspector General, he was a Trump appointee. He judged the complaint to be both credible and urgent. He then forwarded it to Mr. McGuire. And at that point, Mr. McGuire was supposed to turn it over to Congress. Instead, he hung on to it. And then the Inspector General, the Trump appointee, did something courageous, John. He actually came to us on his own and said, you should know that there's a very serious whistleblower complaint that I turned over to Mr. McGuire that you did not receive. And red lights flashing, you need to do something about it right now. And that's what started all of this.
Congressman, do you get the impression, though, I believe Joel McGuire said as much at the hearing today, that he wasn't stonewalling, he didn't turn it over right away because he didn't feel like he could. There were questions of presidential privilege, et cetera. If the Inspector General hadn't spoken up, do you think that you would have eventually gotten this information?
No, I don't think so. I don't blame Acting Director McGuire. You know, I don't know if you know his biography, but he's a real patriot. He's done 40 years in the military before he assumed his position, and he was like 1 week into his job when he received this complaint. I do lay the blame at the feet of the DOJ and Attorney General Bill Barr, who basically instructed him, and the White House did too, not to turn it over.
I was also a conversation today, though, maybe Devin Nunez said something like this, and that is, what more do you people need? In fact, it might have been Mr. McGuire at the end of his testimony when he was talking to Adam Schiff, and he said, look, you've got the transcript of the call, you have the report now declassified, you have testimony, so you really don't need much more from us. Can you kind of fill in the gaps here of that part of the conversation today?
Sure. I think that he is correct that now we have the whistleblower complaint, and also he agreed today to allow the whistleblower to speak to us, which wasn't clear before. But one thing that, you know, folks need to understand is we also need to understand why the whistleblower complaint was withheld from us in the first place. One very interesting part of the whistleblower complaint, it's in the appendix, it's the first paragraph of the appendix, if your listeners go to that, they will see that the call record, which generated the transcript that we all saw a couple days ago, was actually locked away in a special server in the White House, which normally never happens for this type of a transcript. And that's the type of information which we only learned by obviously getting the complaint, and then we'll learn more talking to witnesses.
Congressman, yes or no, do you know the identity of the whistleblower?
I have no idea. And the McGuire, DNI McGuire said he does not either.
Do you think the president knows the identity of the whistleblower?
I don't know, John.
He said he said he wants to know the identity of the whistleblower. Should we know who the whistleblower is?
So this is what I think. I think the whistleblower should come and testify before us in Congress. My concern is that somehow someone gets to him before he has a chance to speak to Congress and speak to the public and tell a story. We don't want someone to retaliate against him. And the way that the president is talking about him does not give me much comfort, and especially the fact that he said that he's a political hack and that others who are talking to him are spies, whom we handled in a different way in past generations. that type of talk is intimidation. And it might have a chilling effect on others who come forward with misconduct allegations.
The president suggested that the actions of the whistleblower might in fact be treasonous. But why didn't, if the information the whistleblower got was secondhand and that he was not listening in on the phone call, as were dozens of people, why didn't any of those other people blow the whistle? Why did it take this one individual? What about all of those other people from whom he was getting this information secondhand? Why didn't they come forward?
That's a great question, John. I think that that's one of the questions that will be asked of these witnesses. What's very interesting is that some of my colleagues on the other side said that, you know, somehow the whistleblower complaint brought up hearsay. The very interesting aspect of the complaint is that it was spot on with regard to the call in question. And so I think that the information within the transcript matched or aligned with the complaint. All that being said, I don't think we should make any judgments right now. I think that we have to proceed cautiously, and but we have to, you know, get to the bottom of what happened, because this is a serious situation.
Schaumburg Congressman Raja Krishnamurthy is on a phone line. He's on that House Intelligence Committee that questioned the acting general today. How many phone calls were made? Because the transcript I saw, I said Attorney General, or referenced that. He's the acting director of National Intelligence, Joseph McGuire. But how many phone calls were made, Raja? The transcript I saw, and that we've all been working off of the one phone call, we have the president asking about Joe Biden in one paragraph. In Biden's name is mentioned two times or maybe three times in one statement by the president. And yet I've heard that he pressed the Ukraine president maybe as many as eight times. Where are those other references?
So we know of at least one other phone call that was made in April to Mr. Zelensky, the Ukrainian president. We don't know of the other phone calls or if other phone calls were made. We do know that Mr. Giuliani traveled to Europe several times and other representatives. So we'll just have to see what those communications were like. But just to summarize why this whistleblower's complaint is important, basically the allegation is that the president essentially tried to leverage the power of the presidency and certain military and humanitarian programs that we provide to Ukraine to try to coerce the Ukrainian president to manufacture some dirt on Joe Biden. And that's a serious thing.
Congressman, it's implicit maybe in the conversation, but it's not explicit. Can you comment on that? Some people are saying that we don't have the quid pro quo in that conversation.
So, well, first of all, just soliciting foreign assistance in an election is illegal. We all know that based on the Mueller report. But the second part of it, which is the leveraging of, you know, the power of the presidency or these particular programs, basically that is something that is described in a lot more detail within the complaint. And that's what needs to be investigated. Mysteriously, just a few weeks before that phone call on July 25th, the officials in charge of these aid programs who would administer them to give them to Ukraine were told to put them all on hold. They don't know. The allegation is that they don't know why that happened. We just have to find out.
That's a good question, isn't it? Because if there is a quid pro quo, then that's the quid or the pro or the quo. I mean, do we know why that aid was held up? Maybe it was for financial reasons. Maybe it was a technical thing I don't understand. Do we know that, in fact, the president was leveraging that aid?
So what we know is that the president now says that he held up the aid because he was concerned about corruption issues in Ukraine. But the interesting thing is, just today, I don't know if you saw the report, within the government, they issued a report around that same time or before that time, basically saying that, certifying that Ukraine was eligible to receive the aid based on their corruption test or how they analyzed that particular issue. So that explanation doesn't wash. So we just have to see, you know, what else is out there.
You are on a list of congressmen and women who have said you are for proceeding with the impeachment. Is that correct?
The inquiry. I have not taken a position on impeachment. I think that's way too soon to decide.
I don't understand the distinction. What's the difference, sir?
So the inquiry is basically investigating whether there are grounds to impeach, whereas impeachment is actually, you know, filing articles of impeachment. It's almost the equivalent of, you know, indicting the president, and the Senate has the trial.
Understood. But was today's hearing part of an impeachment inquiry?
Yes. So the committee is operating now under the umbrella of an impeachment inquiry. So the reason why that's significant is that for the courts, I'm sure there's going to be some court process that's associated with these investigations. They really don't like to judge disputes between the legislative and executive branch in favor of turning over the sensitive information, except in the most severe cases, and certainly this is one of them. Abuse of the office of the presidency for a personal gain, in this case personal political gain, is pretty serious.
Do you have any interest in, or should some committee in Congress investigate the president's accusation that, in fact, it was Joe Biden who was corrupt here? I mean, should there be a corollary investigation into Biden and the president's charges?
Well, these are completely unfounded allegations. I know that they're throwing up a lot of chaff on that. But on the other hand, you know, of course, this is something that, you know, Mr. Giuliani and the president like to say. But what we do know for sure is that the Ukrainian prosecutors, you know, dropped the case. And even now, when they had a chance to bring up charges, they never did. So this is something that's really unfortunate that's being brought up. But they'll continue to make that argument.
Anything else we should know from what you heard or said today, Congressman?
I think everybody should just look at the documents for themselves. I think it's probably it's nice to hear folks like myself talk about it, but I think that people should look for themselves at all these documents and come to their own determinations about, you know, what they think. We really need our citizenry to be engaged, and fortunately, all the documents have been declassified and are available to be studied.
Mr. Krishnamurthy, if you can help us with that, I would love it. You're always game to come on. Senator Durbin is a not infrequent guest on this radio station. I suppose Tammy Duckworth would come on too, et cetera, et cetera. We reach out to the limited number of Republicans that represent people in Illinois and Chicago, and there's not a bunch of them, but there they are. Danny LaHood, are you listening? We called your people. We can't get you on. If we could get some of the Republican constituents to come on and have a conversation just like this, I think our audience would benefit greatly. And boy,
can I say one last thing, John?
Please, sure.
I think that this is the gravest of actions that Congress can possibly take. And I really think that people should, you know, see for themselves what they think. One last point, which is that Congressman Ike Turner of Ohio, he's a Republican. I was really heartened that he said in public during his questioning that he thought that the phone call from the president to the Ukrainian president was not okay, that it's not something that we want presidents to be doing. And I thought that was, you know, I thought that was really good. And like I said, the inspector general here, he's a Republican appointee. Hats off to him for coming forward. We need people like that in government, and, of course, hats off to the whistleblower for coming forward.
I wonder how he or she are sleeping these nights. Congressman Raja Krishnamurthy, thank you for your time, Congressman.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Thank you.